Now, it's on all of our minds, it affects all of our lives, and it's the coronavirus which is touching us all in one way or another. I'm joined now by our resident pharmacist, Elizabeth Roddick, for Ask the Pharmacist. Hi, Elizabeth.
Yeah, this is a remote conversation.
I know, everything has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I can't see you, but I can hear you.
So what's actually been happening in community pharmacy then?
Well, a tidal wave of activity. I've never seen anything like it over the decades that I've been a pharmacist anyway.
So what's the reason for this? Stating the obvious, I would think.
No, it's certainly the panic buying type of behaviour where people are stocking up medicines, both those on prescription and over the counter. I mean, certainly if something is mentioned in the media, such as recently, get your inhaler in case you need it during the pandemic, then that creates a huge demand. Even if you haven't used an inhaler for years, patients are getting one just in case.
Now, the coronavirus, it does affect your breathing, doesn't it?
That's quite right, Simon. I mean, if you have a condition such as asthma or COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, then your breathing could be badly affected and you will need to use extra doses of inhalers.
So what about over-the-counter medicines then? Is there anything there?
Yeah, again, when it was mentioned that people should use paracetamol, clearly for fever, there was an unprecedented demand for the medicine. There was also an announcement that India and China would not be exporting any paracetamol, certainly for a while, and that again produced a surge of panic. And yes, it's been difficult to get hold of paracetamol. Many pharmacists are now taking a large pack, say 100, and dispensing 32 from it so that their patients can get hold of it. But what I've been saying to patients is, I'm only going to give you a small amount, and clearly if there are one or two in the family, we can accommodate that. But please don't buy hundreds of packets or, you know, obviously out of supermarkets. You can't do that in pharmacies. But please don't do that because that just creates a shortage.
Now, people are also asking about gloves and masks. Should they be using them?
I did a separate piece, Simon, on the use of masks, and the gist of it was that the best time to wear a mask is when you're coughing or you're looking after someone that is coughing. As soon as you touch a mask with your fingers, then it could be contaminated. I mean, gloves are useful, provided you don't touch your face with them. That's another problem. I'm not sure how many times we do that, but you could be spreading the virus at that point. The best way to avoid spreading, and as I'm sure everyone will know now, is to wash your hands thoroughly with soap and water. And second best is an alcohol-based hand gel.
Now, there's been stories of queues outside pharmacies. Is this the same as some of the supermarkets?
Yeah, many pharmacies have a very small floor space, Simon. You know, it's in front of their counters. And it can be impossible for two people to exercise this social distancing we must do. That's a 2 metre gap between. I've got quite a large pharmacy and I've marked the floor with yellow tape with a line back from the counter and three crosses, one end so that the other, so that three people can actually be in the pharmacy at once. In our area, we've been asked to display notices about NHS and care staff allowed in first, so it would be good for members of the public to let that happen. Now, for visually impaired people, I mean, I hope pharmacists can give instructions so that the person doesn't put themselves in a position where the virus could be transmitted from person to person. And it's very challenging times, and I think if members of the public could understand, we are not obviously limiting people to come into our pharmacies, we're just trying to keep people safe.
Now, is there any way then that we can help when it comes to ordering medicines?
Certainly not ordering too early. I mean, many of the GP practices are looking out for that and refusing supplies if it's too early. For example, if you have a 2 month supply, then order about 2 weeks into the second month. Now, that means there'll be enough medicine for everyone. Also, please give pharmacies time to make up your prescription. Some pharmacies are reporting dispensing 1 month's prescriptions in 1 day. What we don't want is the pharmacy team dropping like flies because of stress, never mind the virus. So if you can try and think of those things, not ordering too early, and also making sure you give the pharmacy time to make the medicine up.
I've been caught with that, mind you, ordering a prescription early, and I've gone down to get it and it's not been there, and I've been told, well, it was too early. Should we mention this when, if we're phoning up, that we are actually ordering this a bit early?
Yeah, I had an example the other day where a lady said she was going to have to go to her sister's for whatever reason, and she was going to be ordering her medicine early. So what I did was, on the form that we were sending with her driver, I put on it that this patient was ordering early because of X, Y, and Z. And hopefully when they see that, if there's a particular reason, and particularly if you're using a pharmacy to order, we can put in certainly an explanation, and hopefully you will get the medicine when you want it.
Okay. So what's the position regarding protection for pharmacists and staff then? Because you're in the front line, aren't you?
Well, thankfully somebody actually mentioned that on television, because for weeks now we've never been mentioned, which I think was a wee bit unfair. I believe we're supposed to get the PPE, the personal protection equipment. But so far for myself, I'm just training my patients to stay 2 metres away from the counter. And when we place the finished prescription on the counter, we step back 2 metres and the patient then comes forward to collect. It's a bit of a performance, but it's keeping people safe. And to go back to the protection of patients, the latest guidance for pharmacists has also included shielding. And that's a measure to protect people, including children, who are extremely vulnerable to severe illness because of underlying health conditions. And the aim of shielding, that's to minimise interaction between these individuals. So really it's for us as pharmacists to think about, who are these vulnerable patients and how can we help keep them safe?
So at the moment, you're still working without the right stuff that you need?
I think it's time we got that personal protection equipment, because we are extremely vulnerable. And the trouble is, a lot of the surgeries, certainly around my way, have now literally closed, apart from if you are invited in for a reason as a patient, or the pharmacy drivers are going in to pick up the prescription. So what's happening is people are using pharmacies more and more. So we are, let's say, greatly exposed.
And talking of driving, what happens if pharmacy staff are stopped by the police for travelling to work?
Yeah, that's a good point, Simon. We were saying to our bodies, you know, professional bodies, we need help with this. And so they have produced an official form, which is signed by managers and owners with the stamp of the pharmacy on it. And we can present that to police. Also, we're allowed to have the dedicated food shopping slots as well, which is very useful if you're stuck in hospital or in a pharmacy for many hours. You can go along at certain times to get the food you need.
I'll send you my list over. Now, what about delivery of medicines then?
I know there are lots of voluntary groups of people who are happy to help out. I mean, we heard of the number of people joining the online neighbourhood. Right now, we've obviously seen a huge increase in the number of patients asking for a delivery because they are self-isolating. And as I said, the surgeries around my pharmacy have asked patients to nominate a pharmacy to pick up the prescription. And that's to avoid lots of patients turning up at the surgery. So that means that only one pharmacy driver collecting several prescriptions will be ready to pick up at the pharmacy. Now, our delivery drivers are specially trained. They've undergone PVG, Protecting Vulnerable Groups training, with disclosure. They use our vans, which are insured for the purpose. There has to be a lot in place before we can ask a member of the public to take on the role. For example, not many people have business insurance for their cars.
So how do you think that you and your staff are coping at the moment?
Well, I've had two members of staff self-isolating because children in the family have had a cough. It would have been great to find out if they'd had the COVID-19, but of course there's no testing. This has meant 14 days without two of my members of staff. and I've said an amazing increase in workload. Thankfully, my locum pharmacist, who normally allows me to leave the pharmacy to come to the studio, for example, every 2 weeks for the Ask the Pharmacist session, she's worked full time with me for 2 weeks while the staff have been off. And I said to her, quite honestly, if she hadn't been available, I would have been struggling to keep open.
So what if a pharmacy has to close then?
Yeah, good point. We all have a business continuity plan. That means we can buddy up with another pharmacy to perhaps swap staff, which is, of course, has been impossible lately, and also direct patients to the other pharmacy. I'm not sure how the whole thing would work, but it's up to each pharmacist to make sure their patients have access to their medicines. So, for example, if I was to close, then I would need to make sure that their medicine was available in another pharmacy. It sounds incredible, but there you go.
And would you recommend blind or partially sighted patients who are looking for medicines to phone the pharmacy and just see, you know, what the arrangements are?
I think it's a very good idea to be prepared. Obviously, if they have underlying conditions, they shouldn't be going out anyway, and they should be using, whether it's family, friend, or using the pharmacy to help. So just remember to keep yourself safe. But if you are coming to the pharmacy and you want to alert them, then please phone and just say exactly what you need. And perhaps the fact that you are visually impaired, it's going to be difficult for you when you arrive, so that we can look out for you and take care of you.
Right, let's just finish off, Elizabeth. I heard that there was a medicine that's being trialled at the moment.
Well, I don't really want to talk too much about it. It's called hydroxychloroquine because there are some, let's say, private doctors that are prescribing it. And what's happening is that it's becoming, again, short in the market because we use mainly hydroxychloroquine, as well as obviously for malaria. But in this country or the UK, we use it for people, for example, who have rheumatoid arthritis. And therefore, they really need this medicine. And if people are getting them maybe out with other markets, then it's creating a shortage. Now, one of the problems with this particular medicine, and it would be good if it did help the virus or help cope with the virus, is that there is a problem with affecting eyesight. And therefore, when someone goes on to this medicine, they have to get frequent eye tests. And if they have any vision problems, they must report it right away. So that's quite a serious side effect of this. So it's not something that if you get it by some other route, and hopefully people do not get it by another route, then please don't just use it without consulting with a doctor, because it's not a good idea.
Somebody recommends this. What's it called again?
The hydroxychloroquine.
Right. Okay. Beware on that one.
Yeah.
Right. If anything has affected you or you have any questions on what we're talking about today, then you can drop me a line. It's at radio@rnib.org.uk. Or, of course, you can get in touch with Elizabeth. I know you're going to be busy just now, but if it's a serious inquiry, you can get in touch directly with you, can't we?
Yeah, we've got a phone number, 0141 637 6000, which I must say is very busy just now. We've also got an email, admin@newlifepharmacy.co.uk.
Right. Well, Elizabeth, I know it's busy times for you, and because I work so much with you and have done for, what, is it 10 years now?
Oh, not sure.
It must be 10, yeah. It must be 11, actually, I think. But, okay. You know, do take care. And I think people don't say it enough, but thank you so much for all your hard work and trying to keep us all safe.
Well, I hope you keep safe as well, Simon, and all the team there.